All right, open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes and let's dig into this book as we call our series Seasons. Selected that song. It's from Conkren & Co., who is actually coming to our church this spring here. It's just a storm. It's just a season. It's something I've been saying to my life because this year particularly has affected me in certain ways. I've lost people that are very close to me, gone through different things myself that I've been saying in my head, it's just a storm. It's just a season. Have you ever needed to talk to yourself a little bit, kind of coach yourself up and how you renew your mind through the word of God? I know that's a song, but it's a reminder of some of the truth of Ecclesiastes. And in doing that, it kind of led me to go, I'm going to actually study the book of Ecclesiastes in my own private devotions. And I turned it into a sermon series for us all to joy. And I'm entering this incredible humility going, what am I getting myself into? Okay. So what is Ecclesiastes? If I said, spell it. You'd be like, wait, right? Ecclesiastes, what does it even mean? Well, it comes from the word kohelet in Hebrew, which means preacher or teacher. And the idea is that an ecclesia, many of you know, growing up in the church, you understand that's the church or the assembly, right? Well, Ecclesiastes is the preacher, if you will, who has called an assembly to speak. Now, in places of higher learning like Oxford and over at Cambridge and all these different things, one of the things they do, it's really interesting, they have these rooms, these like symposiums of elite minds, and they give the room over to a teacher, and he's allowed to teach on whatever, because they understand we often will live in a bubble of people who only agree with us. And we go to places and go to certain authors that only agree with our line of thinking. And so in these chambers of wisdom, they bring in people who have totally different worldviews and they let them talk with no rebuttal. Just go ahead and they listen. And the person comes up in the room and they come in with a thesis and they say, here's what I'm going to talk about. And it might be obnoxious, it might be rude, whatever, but go ahead, we're here to learn, okay? And so the person goes off and they speak and then wisdom is put into the room and then they process all out. This is almost the approach of Ecclesiastes. It's a preacher or teacher who has called an assembly and speaks. Now, what's interesting about Ecclesiastes is the author kind of sits back and stays anonymous. Now, I believe there's enough internal evidence to lean on the side that the author is most definitely Solomon, but there's many that haven't necessarily concluded that because of the way the wisdom literature plays itself out. But one thing you see here, and what's very interesting is, the author, and for our study, I'll call him Solomon, the author begins, you see verse 1, by saying, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now that preacher word, or Ecclesiastes, or kohelet, or preacher, teacher, is almost like a pen name of the author. It's like they're kind of staying anonymous. And many believe, if it was indeed Solomon, he's at a stage in his life where he'd rather stay anonymous. He comes into Proverbs and says, I am Solomon, king of Israel, son of David, right? But here in Ecclesiastes, he's almost like a bit like, here's my pen name, and he's going to let the teacher teach us, or this preacher. And he's going to give him the room and allow him to speak to the assembly. And it's as if Solomon joins all of us and sits back and goes, go ahead, teacher, the chair is yours. Speak to the people. And so he comes up to the front of the room, if you will. He begins with this powerful opening argument, and I'd like you to look for the trending theme as I share it. Ready? Here we go. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Does anyone know what the main theme will be? This is Ecclesiastes, everyone. We're going to laugh a lot. We're going to be like, what? What? Wait, what? Vanity of vanity. Five times he says it. It's almost like you want to say, so vanity? Yes. What is vanity? Vanity is a word that's translated from the original Hebrew word. Young students of the Bible, Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, okay? But it's a Hebrew word that means hevel or in English, hebel. What's hebel? Hebel is vanity or meaninglessness. Concretely, it's like a mist, a vapor, a puff of smoke. You could try to get it, but it's elusive. You go to get it, it's like smoke. And metaphorically, it's like something fleeting or elusive. Any students of the Bible, there's one New Testament book they say is a book of wisdom, and it refers to life being like a vapor. You know which book that is? The book of James. And so we have this author who gives the pulpit, if you will, to the teacher who takes over the room and says, Hevel, Hevel, says the preacher. Hevel of Hevel, all is Hevel, all is meaningless. And we often think when we hear that meaningless word, like, okay, like, so everything I do is meaningless, but it's actually deeper than that. In fact, unfortunately, sometimes the English translation doesn't do it justice. It's almost like all is puzzling. All is difficult to get our hands around. Things happen we don't quite understand. Life is like a smoke, it's fleeting. It's like a vapor, it's quick. But it's also puzzling. And he points to this deductively by organizing his thoughts in categories throughout the rest of the book. The teacher or preacher says, I've noticed something. There's this march of time that goes on. He says, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Popular singers come, popular singers go. Ingenuitive minds come, ingenuitive minds go. The world keeps going and going from generation to generation. And each generation thinks they're so important. Ask the baby boomers. Ask the millennials. Everyone thinks they're so important, the teacher says. But you're just coming and going. Go outside. Go look at the mountain who's been here for over 1,000 years. And ask yourself 1,000 years from now, go up to the mountain who you won't even be here anymore and ask the mountain how important you are. This is the idea. And you're like, watch it, buddy. But he wants to annoy you. This is part of his thing. And then he goes, I've also noticed this, death. I did some stats, it's like he says. And statistics are pretty clear. Everyone in here is gonna die. Well, what? Yeah. The children of men, they're full of evil while they live. And then they all die. And right now you're going, okay, Pastor Chris is usually more encouraging than this. We just thought this would be different. Hey, the teacher, not me. What's he doing? And then he says this. I've noticed this too. The race is not just for the swift, but time and chance happen to all. Yeah, you can live a life of wisdom even. You can pursue things even of God, and tragedy can strike your family. So, what do we do with all this? Do we throw it out the door? No. The preacher is not an atheist. The preacher is not devoid of faith. In fact, the preacher is saying, I have an incredible fear of God. In fact, at one verse he says, let my words be few before the God of the universe. It's just, I got a problem with some of the things that I've been experiencing. And I got questions. And the book of Ecclesiastes is here for those who think that maybe they're not allowed to ask questions. It says, ask questions. For he does. And then he begins to speak and says this, what does man gain? What's the net profit? We all want profits. Any businessmen in here? You want to know what is the profit? He says, what's the net profit by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes. With the earth, it remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. If you have your journal, circle the word hastens and write this down. Returns panting. What? Yeah, this is the idea. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. Generations come, generations go, and they return like this. You ever feel like that? Any sports families here? You've eaten at Wawa more than at home this month, right? Any businessman? It's just a season. It's just a season. Honey, it's going to slow down. It will, so it never is going to slow down.
You ever finish up a news report? The teacher goes, yeah, I knew you would be like that, because that's what life is under the sun. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind on its circuits. The wind, it just returns. All the streams are under the sea, but the sea's not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they'll flow again. It's cyclical. You're going to see solar eclipses, and you're going to not see them, and then you'll see them. It's not this, what's happening? Things happen, and they're going to continue to happen because the earth has these things happen. And he's saying, I will prove from the natural world cycles that things come and go again and again. If you want to know anything constant, it's the wind, and it's the wind of change in your life. All things are full of weariness, he continues. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. What an interesting phrase, under the sun. He uses it 29 times, I can count. Kids, you can double check me. But this under the sun phrase, what is he referring to? The fallen state of earth. And not just that it's localized to his kingdom, but to everyone. See, sometimes as Americans, we localize. We say things like, oh, this is so important. This is so important. And then you could say, well, ask Australia how important it is. Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. They're out here too. We're the only ones going through this. And then you go, well, what's going on in Europe? I don't really. He's saying, here's a universal truth. And the Bible is universal. It can speak to any country in any season. So you might think, this is the most important year of your life. Well, is it? Yes. Is it? Because governments come, governments go. Things happen, things don't. Cyclical, cyclical, cyclical. Every 200 years, something. This is the idea behind this preacher. And you're like, what is this guy about? He's kind of annoying me. And that's what he wants to do. And so please never make him me, all right? I'm just giving you his pulpit, all right? It's so crazy. This teacher, he says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. It's almost like, he's almost like if someday they create devices that people could walk around in their pockets, they would never stop looking at them. That's what he's saying. Like he knows anything. Like this guy knows anything. Wow. Folks, you are dealing with not good wisdom. You're dealing with elite wisdom. In fact, the God of the universe allowed it written in scripture that Solomon was the wisest man that's ever walked the earth. And you are getting wisdom from someone who has experienced in his passionate pursuit under the sun. And he's speaking and reminding us what's really important. He continues and says, is there a thing that is which said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Oh, he sits back. You like that song? Oh, I love that song. It's so wonderful. The new Taylor whatever song. Phil, I love that new song. It just speaks to me, whatever. He's like, songs? Yeah, songs. Songs. What? Well, you, okay, all right, let me help you out. Verse, chorus, bridge, verse. Next. Nothing new. Oh, a new song. I wonder if it'll be verse, chorus, bridge, verse, end. Oh, worship song. Verse, chorus, bridge, verse. When are we ever going to sit down? This is this guy. And you're like, we allowed to talk about this? This is this guy. He's like, it's not new. It's not, I'm not like, whoa, I'm not blown away. And he's missing life. And he's missing the moments. And he's missing things. It's almost like in his passionate pursuit to be the smartest guy in the room everywhere he is, he's lost all his joy under the sun. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel. And it's like Solomon's kind of masking himself that he is the pen writer, right? And I apply my heart to seek wisdom and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. I got Solomon just kind of like in the smoke in the background there and this preacher out in front, right? And it's almost like he's saying, I'm this guy, but I'm letting them talk. And it's an unhappy business that God has given the children of man to be busy with. It's unhappy. I mean, this is Solomon, king of son. He is the son of who? David. Try being better than that guy on earth. They made songs up. Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his tens of thousands. Can you imagine walking by a kid in high school students and they're like, oh, you hit a home run. He hit 70 home runs. And they make up a song and they all sing it. It's like, oh my goodness, this guy. Imagine being that guy's son. Imagine knowing your name is never going to be bigger than your dad's. On top of that, that Solomon, we're going to see in this book, went through different things that we might even point out as we move along. And it still speaks even into our world today. The preacher still talks. And he says things like, I've seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. So what are we supposed to do with that? Become relativists? No, that also would be hevel. To just do whatever we want? No, that would also be hevel, meaningless. What should the pursuit be then? What should I move towards? And if I could so ask the teacher, I know we're not allowed to rebuttal yet, but what about the doctrine of eternal rewards for what we do for Christ on earth? And now you begin to intersect with what's called progressive revelation. For you, New Testament believer, know that Jesus came and he has given us the new covenant where we have learned things that the things we can do for God on earth are rewarded in heaven, and that all things on earth may pass, but what's done for God will last. And we have a perspective that we can even come into this wisdom that will grow us up even in the Lord today in 2024. Boo-doo. What was that? Sound effects are free. And every time Lady Wisdom chimes in, we'll go boo-doo. And every time the preacher chimes in, we'll go boo-doo. Okay, we'll just do that. What's going on here? She wants to add to this, okay? It's not a rebuttal, she's adding. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs you everything you have at the preacher, get understanding. What's this? Just like we see in Ecclesiastes, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon begins by saying, I, Solomon, offers her. So let's go to this next slide and look at this. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And he's going to let this Lady Wisdom speak. He personifies wisdom as this young teacher, if you will. And he writes the book of Proverbs, teenagers, you're going to love this, specifically for teenage life. We can all learn for it. But one of his goals, he even says in the beginning, I'm giving this to young. To the young so that they might learn before they make the mistakes. And that's why I spent years as a youth pastor. I said, you gotta love Proverbs because they're given to you in texts. And I would have students say, I don't like to read, but they love to read texts. So get texts from Proverbs. And that way you will read them and she gives out tons of wisdom. But you know what the problem is? Nobody wants to listen to her. She has all this wisdom to share, but nobody will listen. In fact, she says that when Solomon lets her speak in the book of Proverbs. She says, wisdom cries out in the streets. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. It's like during all this, during all the worlds, we gotta get there, we gotta get there, we can't let anybody get ahead of us. Oh my word, did you see they added a screened-in porch, we need to add one. We gotta get this, oh, I just heard, we don't have enough in our retirement fund. Oh my word, there's gonna, in the midst of all this, she goes, can I talk? No, we're too busy. The eye can't stop seeing. And my heart just keeps racing, and I'm full of anxiety, and I'm afraid tragedy's going to come, and I'm afraid that season of ice is going to come. And she goes, let me talk. What? She says this. She cries aloud in the streets, how long, oh simple ones, will you love being simple? And you go, wait, don't call me simple. Hang on. Simple here means naive. Just you don't know yet. It's not even cruel. The goal is to go, you're dumb. It's like you're simple. You just don't know. But I really thought he loved me. Then why was he asking you every night to go into the basement by yourself when your parents not knowing? But he loved me. I thought he loved me. I know you thought he loved you.
I mean, it made a ton of sense. The guy was like, I get $20,000 up front. I was like, that's sweet. So I went into business.
I know you thought it was sweet. I know you thought, but you didn't think through. You didn't listen to me. That's what she's trying to say. Just listen to those simple ones. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. I'll give you wisdom. Just listen to me. And then she continues. She says, because I have called and you refuse to listen, I've stretched out my hand and no one is heeding. I'll give you wisdom. Just listen to me. Please listen to me. What? Turn your chair on me? Because you've ignored all my counsel and you would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. She continues and she says, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when that season comes, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but I will not find me. They won't find me. Why? She continues and says, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and they shall have their full of, listen to this, of their own devices. They'll have their full. Any parents in the room, you say, I told them that 100 times. And then that one person told them and they listened. They were like, wow. I was like, I said that 100 times. This is Lady Wisdom. I'm trying to tell you. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Lady Wisdom says, can I speak into the seasons of life? Can I speak into your season? Don't be a fool. Don't choose the way of folly. I'm offering you wisdom. And ask yourself, how much of the book of Proverbs have you memorized in your heart? How wrong is she that we've ignored this? And she summarizes seasons of life in one of the verses. I like this, Proverbs 26:1. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like snow in summer. How if you were planning your July 2nd vacation and you were ready to go and you were driving down to the airport and a winter blizzard hit in July 1st? Boy, would you see social media go off on that one, right? Oh, my word, right? She's like, yeah, that's what it's like to be around a fool. Avoid folly. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that what Ecclesiastes is going to be teaching us, to avoid folly? Yes. And Lady Wisdom wants us to avoid folly as well? Yes. One is proverbial wisdom. The other is more speculative wisdom. But they work together to round out who we ought to be. Well, what ought we to be? What would be a portrait of who we are to be in whatever season of life? And Lady Wisdom says, well, I'll give you a portrait of what you don't want to look like. In fact, she gives a portrait of the fool throughout the book of Proverbs. It's as if this fool has been given a framework that God has given him, but he keeps dipping his toes outside of God's framework, thinking it's going to go well for them. And so I have a picture of this frame with the fool in the background with his toes outside the frame. And she's like, God has given you a structure because he loves you. God doesn't say don't because he wants to ruin your fun. He says don't because he doesn't want you to hurt yourself. Don't live the life of folly. God's not out to ruin your life. He is out to preserve and live you life for abundance. It's us who step outside of his framework and then get mad at him when it doesn't go our way. She offers 8 kind of like short texts on what folly looks like so that we can know. Folly repeats mistakes. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Oh, what a gross picture. How many of you seen a dog return to its vomit? You go, Pastor Chris, I can tell you a dog returns more than just its vomit. Oh, we don't need that today. She's like, yeah, that's what folly looks like. It makes a mistake and it keeps doing that. Have you ever fallen into that? She says another one. She says this, a fool's lips walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. She's like, a fool's like, they're just trying to fight. They're looking for ways to fight. They're looking for people to troll. They're looking for somebody to argue with. She's like, folly loves to argue. Have you ever fallen into this trap? She says, another one, I'll give you 8. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. Folly lacks self-control. It rages. It doesn't have any sort of self-control. Have you ever fallen into the trap? Have you ever lived around folly that rages? Folly, 4, I'll give you another one. It's a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom. Folly revels in doing mischief. It's like folly is almost personified. I hate to pick on all the middle school boys, but it's kind of like us. You say us, I'm going to speak hypothetically. Let's say there was a kid who took all of his G.I. Joe dolls and stormed the glamour gal house in his sister's room, hypothetically speaking. And we set up an entrapment and we took it over. There were glamour gals flying out the windows. But G.I. Joe had gained its territory. And as things got wrecked because of this hypothetical, your parents come to you and they say, what were you thinking? And you say, I wasn't thinking. This is what Lady Wisdom says. Why would you enter into that without consulting scripture? What were you thinking? Folly, 5, is consumed by gossip. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Even the church can fall into gossip. They see YouTube things with big yellow font and they go, this must be true, and they don't do any investigating on the speaker, who's being attacked, and it's almost as if we assume because someone's popular, we're allowed to gossip about them. Instead of love one another, bear with one another, encourage one another, stir one another up. And we fall into the trap of online attacking people who even claim to be followers of Christ. We fall into these traps because there's an enemy out there and folly laughs at sin. It doesn't even think it's something that laughs at us. Fools mock at sin. But among the righteous, there is favor. I had somebody share to me one time when they were mentoring me. They said, Chris, you'll find a lot about people of what they'll watch or consume as media and laugh at. And they think it's funny when it's actually sin. Folly does that. Have you ever fallen into the trap? Folly, she says, folly not only laughs at sin, but look at this. Folly has a corrupt mouth. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. You know you're around folly when you hear corrupt speech. But this last one is one of the more powerful proverbial wisdom verses of scripture. Folly blames God for its mistakes. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against not just himself sometimes, not just against others, but against God. And often we see in the life of Solomon, he chose his own path. He went against the Lord. And he had to learn that lesson. And we get a window into a season of life where we have an author sharing wisdom about pursuing things outside of God. Lady Wisdom gives this portrait of a fool as if to say, I want to help you in this season you're in, but you have to want my help. Do you know someone in your life you dearly love? They're in a very difficult season, and you just wish they would listen to someone, or, oh, if they would just go kind of sit down with somebody and get some discipleship. But you ever noticed if the person doesn't want to listen, it's a wasted exercise. The better move is to pray that their heart would soften, that they would hear the things of God. Lady Wisdom wants to help. And she says,
the beginning of wisdom is this: get it, collect it. Though it costs you everything you got, get understanding. It's one of the best pursuits you could possibly have under the sun. What's that? What's this? I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also at Lady Wisdom is but a striving after the wind. They're not going at one another. They're adding to one another. Wait a minute. Even if I pursue wisdom as a means to an end, that is hevel? The end of the matter is this: avoid hevel under the sun. Live for now. Rejoice in what God has given you. Respect God, even fear God, is a lesson we will learn in our text. But most importantly, understand that you cannot control the outcomes. Chaos happens to the righteous and the wicked. But New Testament believer and child of God, Jesus has given you purpose and meaning to collect this wisdom and live for things that will last, not for things that will burn up. Giving your life fully to him in whatever season of life. So let's take the counsel we'll receive in this series to stop and smell the roses. You might not be able to change your government, but you could have a good lunch with your family instead of a horrible one. You might not be able to change the result of the MRI, but you can open the Word of God this afternoon and find peace from it. You might not be able to get out of this season where you feel like nobody sees you, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, but you can go to the one who sees you and loves you and cares about you. Because the will of God, when this all shakes down, when we get to the end of the matter, if you will, is enjoying the life we have, living for what he's given us, and pursuing the things of God today. How many of us have ruined entire days because we were overthinking about our future or overdwelling on our past? How many of us have lost the joy of this season of our family's life, wishing we weren't in this season? How many of us have fallen prey to being angry and shouting at even someone we dearly love because of our inability to accept the season we've been called to? And it's easy to preach to others, isn't it? It's so hard to live out ourselves. You even find that sometimes you can give grace to other people. Oh, bless their heart. Give them a second. No problem. But then yourself, you just beat on yourself. How could you? You're such a loser. You're such a failure. You ever fall into that trap? Have you ever fallen into the other trap? I do nothing wrong and you all are complete fools. Have you ever fallen into that one? It's hevel. And let's learn from it. As a church, we love to say 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17 is one of the ways we navigate seasons. It's rapata. Rejoice always, pray always, thank always. That's the acronym, if you will. It's born out of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17. Child of God, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In every season, if you will, give thanks. Why? For that's God's will for you. God's will is not a destination. We want to get out of this season. We want to move into this. If I'm only in this season of life, if I would just be married, if we would just have children, if I just had that job, if we just could get out of this state. Obviously not our church. We don't want you to leave. But if I could just do that, then I'll be happy. Then I'll achieve. Then it'll be good. But I got this. This is terrible. I hate to share this with you, but everywhere you go, there you are. Have you noticed that? Has anybody noticed that? If I just go over here, it'll be better. If we just change coaches, it'll be better. If we just go to this place, it'll be better. If we just buy a house over here, it'll be better. But everywhere you go,
there you are. You take your attitude everywhere you go. And God says, how about we work on your disposition in the season I've called you for? Oh, and that's easy to preach to others, and it's so hard to live out. God's will for you is to rejoice always, pray always, and thank always. So how could you best fear God in the season of life you currently find yourself in? Whichever one it is, whether it be winter, spring, summer, or fall, how could you best fear God and obey his commands in whatever season you're currently in? Heavenly Father, we're talking about seasons in our series. And I just pray for each one here, because the reality is we're all in very different seasons, most likely. And I don't know who might be in a very discouraged season, or might be just exuberant. This is the start of something new and exciting. Whatever season, Lord, may we learn to trust you, to surrender to you, and to give you our lives. For that is where the joy is found. It is not found in controlling or trying to stop or trying to get, because those are so often just chasing after the wind. Things come, things go. Things are there, and then things are gone. The only constant in our life will be change, and how we navigate those seasons is what you truly are asking of us. And so, Lord, as we collect wisdom from not only Ecclesiastes, but even from Proverbs, may we learn that even when life doesn't go the way we like it, or even when it goes exactly the way we had hoped, that we have a God who is faithful. And the God on the mountain is also the God on the valley. And we know there is nothing better than you. Lord, teach us your wisdom. May we humbly receive it. And may we seek to avoid folly. Amen.